of Papua New Guinea. So that's the capital city. And we have 22 provinces. The landmass is similar to the state of California. We have 850 plus tribal languages, not dialects, tribal languages. And apart from that, we have two common languages, Pidgin and Motu. English is the official language spoken in Papua New Guinea, in all our schools. Everything is taught in English because we are a part of the, we were once upon a time part of the British Commonwealth. And the predominant denomination is Roman Catholic. When you talk about the evangelicals in Papua New Guinea is less than 10%. That's the capital city. I'm going backwards. So you have the indigenous of Papua New Guinea. So what's our ministry purpose statement? Well, the philosophy of the ministry of Word of Life is reaching the youth of Papua New Guinea with the gospel of Jesus Christ through evangelism and discipleship. Jack Watson, the founder of the ministry, he said that it is the responsibility of every generation to reach their generation with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I love that statement. He said that we want to be reproducers who will then reproduce reproducers. So it's all about evangelism and discipleship. We want to disciple the next generation so that they, when they grow up, they can be able to do the same to the next generation. So the ministry is all about evangelism and discipleship. When it comes to our evangelism ministry in Papua New Guinea, we do have camps or camping ministry. The school year in Papua New Guinea or the calendar is totally different from United States. Like now when it's summer, it's 8 to 10 weeks of holiday. And for Word of Life in United States, they always have like 8 weeks of summer camp. But Papua New Guinea, it's totally different. The school year starts during the second week of February. And then it goes for 10 weeks. And then the students will have a week of holiday. And then they'll go back to school. It goes for another 10 or 11 weeks. And then they will have 1 or 2 weeks of holiday. They will come back, go for another 10 weeks. And then they will have another week of holiday. By that time, it's September. That's the third semester. And then they'll come back. And they'll go for another 10 weeks, and by the time, it's the second week of December. So Word of Life, we don't have a property in Papua New Guinea, and we don't have camping facilities. So what we usually do is that those churches that we partner with during the school holidays, we usually ask them if we can co-host the camp together. And most of them always say yes. And pretty much three-quarters of the budget, the church meets the three-quarters of the budget, and we just contribute a quarter of the budget, and then we run camps, day camps in those local churches. And we always challenge the young people in the church to go out to the neighborhood, to the communities, or even from their schools to invite unsaved friends to come to the camp. And we usually tell them, if you invite an unsaved friend to come to the camp, you must know that Word of Life Papua New Guinea will pay for their camping fees. So pretty much we always have a lot of young people. They come to the camp, and our goal and our heart's desire is that those who come that are unsaved, we want them to hear the gospel message so that they can come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and personal Savior. And those who are saved, we want them to make lifetime decisions so that when they leave the camp and go back to their home schools or communities that they live in, then they can be able to share their faith and be that light in their community. Also, we have sports marathon. We use sports as an evangelistic tool to reach out to the young people. This picture is taken in December of 2019. We had 1,500 young people that came to our volleyball sports marathon. It's a one-day event. Like if I were to go to a community and ask the young people to come so that I can share the gospel to them, Usually we will get between, I will say, 15 to 25. But when you say sports, yeah, that's the universal language. A lot of young people, they speak that language. So when they come, we make sure that the game starts at 8 a.m. And during lunchtime, we sit them down. We sit them down and then we share the gospel to them. And then we feed them. So we also use food as an evangelistic tool. You must know that Papua New Guinea, most of our towns and cities, major towns and cities, are surrounded by squatter settlements. Most of the young people in those squatter settlements, they eat probably 2 to 4 meals in a week. So when they come, yes, we want to make sure that we feed them good food during the lunch time, and then we share the gospel to them. And whoever wants to get saved, we take them to the side, we counsel them, and then those churches that we partner with, we make sure that these young people are plucked into these local churches. And we have rugby outreach. Rugby is the national sport played in Papua New Guinea. That's the real men's game, not NFL. So in the month of October, November, and December, we travel into the communities, those rugby, local rugby clubs. The guys, we just go there and we tell them that, hey, we are a Christian organization and we want to just take another 10 to 20 minutes to share the gospel with you guys. And most of them are always receptive to that. So we sit them down and then and we share the gospel to them. And it's so encouraging that most of the time, half or two-thirds of the rugby players, they always indicated that they want to accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and personal Savior. Open air evangelism. Papua New Guinea is open to the gospel. So on Saturdays, those churches that we work with, usually we train the young people on how they can go about to share their faith. And we provide them with tools, like we have the Evangie card. How many of you are familiar with the Evangie card? Or what about the wordless book? Yes. So we teach them how they can be able to use those tools to share their faith. And then we always plan ahead. And when that day comes, we take these young people to the streets. And I always tell them, you know, we can go out and distribute gospel tracts, but for me, I like gospel conversation. And if we can pray that God will bring an individual alone so that we can share the gospel with, then that will be great. So that was taken last year. Those are the young people from my local church, about 23 of them. We went to the public bus stop, and we were able to distribute over 500 gospel tracts. And we had 42 gospel conversations, and 12 came to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and personal Savior. So you can see those young men and young girls having a gospel conversation with those people that they were able to talk to. So last year, during the pandemic, we thank God that, yes, it affected a lot of lives in Papua New Guinea. But one thing about me, I love evangelism. And I told my team, you know, whatever that we can do to share the gospel, let's continue to do that. So last year alone, we were able to share the gospel to over 3,200 people. And out of the 3,200 people, 152 came to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and personal Savior. And we thank God for that. So yes, we want to see young people get saved, but the most important is that we want them to be grounded in the Word so that they can grow in their Christian life, and then they can go on and live for the Lord, tell others about Jesus Christ, and then they can also disciple them. So the churches that we work with, we serve them. And what we usually tell the churches is that we want you guys to provide us with a leadership team, a group of young men and young women who love the Lord, that they want to grow, and also that they want to influence the lives of the younger people in their youth group. So usually the church will do that for us. And then for a year, we train these young people. And there are seven important biblical principles that we want to instill into their lives. The first one is quiet time, daily devotion. We challenge these young people to get into the Word of God, and we provide them with these tools, where these tools will help the young people to read the Word of God on day-to-day, daily basis. And not only that, we have scripture memory. We want the young people to memorize the Word of God because that's your only defense. The third principle is faithfulness to the local church. We encourage the young people to be part of their local church. And whatever gifts and talents that they have, they can be able to use that to serve God. And the fourth principle, we have the doctrinal Bible studies. We provide those curriculum to the churches, and we teach them how to use this curriculum so that they can be able to ground their young people on sound teachings or sound doctrines. And then the fifth principle is Christian service. We want the young people to come to their churches on Saturdays to clean the church, or else they can do visitation, go to a widow's house and help clean around a yard. So whatever that they can do to serve God, we encourage that. And then the sixth principle, accountability. We want the young people to have some kind of a person that can be able to keep them accountable. So that's why we train these student leaders. These student leaders are the one that will check on the young people, check on their quiet times, check on their scripture memory, and be an encouragement to them. And finally, the seventh principle is evangelism. We want all the young people to be sharing their faith. So we challenge them. We provide them with the tools, and we train them, and we tell them, look, you know, you go into your schools, into the neighborhood, share your faith. Share your faith to your friends or your families, and that's what we want to do, that many can come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and personal Savior. And apart from that, I have my guys' Bible study. I have young professionals, college students, and then high school students on Saturdays. They usually come to my home when I'm at home, and then we do Bible study together. And my wife, she does the same. She has young ladies that God has brought across her path that she can be able to minister to. So what's our goal? Our goal and our vision is building relationship with pastors of Bible-believing churches, introducing and distributing of Word of Life Youth Bible Club curriculum to the churches, and run seminars to help train youth pastors and youth leaders to see ministries from a biblical point of view, then challenging them to have a biblical-based youth ministry. So every month, it's always a busy month for us in Papua New Guinea, and we thank God for the ministry that He has given us, or He has blessed us with. And on behalf of my family and the ministry team of Word of Life Papua New Guinea, we want to thank you, the church, so much for the last 20 years. That was when Reverend John Hyrie was the director then, that the church supported him. And when he resigned, you guys took me on for support. And we really appreciate that very much. And I see us as we are partners in the ministry. So the souls that were saved in Papua New Guinea for all these years, it's not lost. Philippians chapter number 4, verse 7, they are added to your account in heaven. And God keeps the record of everything that happens with these people and the ministry in Papua New Guinea. So with that said, I want you to open your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, verse 20. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, verse 20, and that's the verse that I want to share that verse with us. And I have titled my message for this morning, Christ's Ambassadors. Christ's Ambassadors. And in that verse alone, we are going to see three challenges in relation to the topic Christ's Ambassadors. So we will go ahead, read that verse, and we will go before the Lord in prayer. 2 Corinthians 5:20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be he reconciled to God. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you once again for this wonderful day, and thank you so much for this church. Thank you for Pastor Keith, the leadership team of the church, the congregation of the church, for their faithfulness in serving you and for their faithfulness in the last 15 plus years for partnering with Word of Life, Papua New Guinea. And Lord, it's a joy to be here, and I pray that, Lord, as we go into your word, that you will bless your word, and I pray for the challenges that we will pick out from this verse, that we will take the challenges by heart, and that we can go out and be that ambassador representing you well here on earth, Lord. And I commit our time into your hands. May your Holy Spirit be the one to teach us from your word. Pray that you will use me as a vessel. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So in that particular verse, I had underlined those two words. The words ambassadors and the word reconciled. The word ambassadors and the word reconcile. So before we will go in and examine this verse in detail, let us first define those two words that I have underlined according to today's context. So the word ambassador, I was so lazy, so I decided to use my phone. I went online dictionary, to discover that word ambassador. So the word ambassador means, online dictionary, an accredited diplomat, someone who is qualified, someone who is recognized by his country, an accredited diplomat sent by a country as its official representative to a foreign country. What's another name for the word ambassador, or related words, or the synonym for that word ambassador? Well, you get that word representative, messenger, diplomat, and minister. And of course, minister is someone of the highest rank. Okay, let me put this word into perspective. For instance, in United States of America, we have the ambassador of Papua New Guinea representing the people of Papua New Guinea and the government of Papua New Guinea in Washington, D.C. And you have to know that to be an ambassador of a country representing your country in a foreign country, you must be the citizen of that country. So, of course, the ambassador of Papua New Guinea is the citizen of Papua New Guinea representing the government of Papua New Guinea in the United States. And as a foreign diplomat, here in the United States, he is to serve the best interest of the government of the day. However, if the ambassador doesn't live up to the expectation of the government, if he refuses to follow the policies, the procedures, and the rules put in place, then the government of the day will tell him to pack up and come home. That ambassador will be relieved from his assignment and will be heading back to Papua New Guinea. And think about the embarrassment. Think about the shame that person will bring upon himself. On the other hand, if the ambassador serves his time well in a different country that he was assigned to, then upon the completion of his assignment, or probably when he retires, maybe then the government of the country will say, hey, come on home. And most of the time, like I've seen it in Papua New Guinea, where the government of the day will organize some kind or form of a banquet to recognize that ambassador's service or years of service, commitment, and dedication in that foreign field that he had served for a very long time. And at times, they will always recognize that person by giving him a gift or an award of some sort. An ambassador. The word reconcile. The word reconcile. Well, again, I searched that word online, and the word means to restore friendly relations, to restore friendly relations. So I decided to put that word in a sentence. So Justin wants to reconcile with his uncle. Maybe the nephew, Justin, he had some kind of like an unresolved conflict or unresolved issue with his uncle over something that he wants to reconcile so that they can coexist in harmony. So let's go back to that verse, our verse, 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, verse 20. And we will see that verse segment by segment, or part by part. So in verse number 20, now then we are ambassadors for Christ, 20a. So according to the biblical context, what Paul stated in this verse is this. The Christians in Corinth, they were the ambassadors. They were the ambassadors. And as Christians, those of us who invited Jesus Christ into our lives, we accepted Christ as our Lord and personal Savior, we are the ambassadors of Jesus Christ. We are his messengers. We are his representatives. We represent Christ here on earth. Or I can say that we are like the accredited diplomats. We are recognized, qualified, certified, and endorsed by the Lord Jesus Christ because of our relationship that we have with him. Christ is our king. He is our master. We are his subordinates. So whatever is his best interest, as the ambassadors, we exist here on earth to serve him. And that's what we should be doing. It's not by mistake that the Holy Spirit of God placed that word ambassadors for a reason. The Holy Spirit of God wants to remind you and I that this is our temporary home. This is not our permanent dwelling place. We are just pilgrims passing by. One day, the rapture of the church will take place. I believe in the imminent rapture, imminent return of our Lord Jesus Christ. Any second, any minute, any hour from now, the bugle shall sound, and you and I shall be caught up in the air to meet our Lord and personal Savior, Jesus Christ. This is not our home. Our home is in heaven. And as long as we are here on this planet Earth, we should be representing our Savior by telling others about Jesus Christ, because we are his ambassadors. So in verse number 20a, we are the ambassadors of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now then, we are ambassadors of Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. As though God did beseech you by us. In other words, it's like God, through them, is appealing to these people to come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and personal Savior. So as God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead. The word pray here, it's like a plea or a beg. We beg you on behalf of the Lord Jesus Christ to be reconciled to God. So in here, to be reconciled with God. God made it possible for man to make peace with him, to restore the relationship that was broken a long time ago. And we know that. Sin separated man from God. God is holy. God is righteous. Sin broke the relationship that existed between man and God. And God had made the way for sinful man to be reconciled to God, to him, by sending his son, Jesus Christ, into this world to die on the cross of Calvary for our sins. And Jesus Christ is the only person, I call him the peacemaker, that will reconcile a sinful person to God. And God wants to use us as the instruments. God cannot do that. Jesus cannot do that. That's why God wants you and I to stand in the gap and point people towards God, point people towards God by introducing Jesus Christ to them so that they can come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and personal Savior so that they can be reconciled to God. And God wants you and I to do that. We are His ambassadors. Representing him here on earth. So Christ ambassadors, three challenges that I want to challenge us in relation to the topic. The first challenge is in verse number 20b. The first challenge is in verse number 20b. Okay, I just put all the challenges up there. Okay, the first challenge is in verse 20b as ambassadors. As ambassadors, we are assigned with the ministry of reconciliation. We are assigned with the ministry of reconciliation. See verse number 18. Verse number 18, the Bible reads, "And all things are of God." Yes, all things are from Him. "Who hath reconciled to Himself by Jesus Christ." So who had reconciled us to Himself through Christ, making us acceptable to Him, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. So as Christian, we have been entrusted with that ministry, the ministry of reconciliation, so that by our example, by our testimony, by sharing of our faith, we might bring others to Jesus Christ, that they can come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and personal Savior. The moment that you say yes to Jesus Christ and you invited Jesus Christ as your Lord and personal Savior, you are an ambassador of Jesus Christ. And we are entrusted with that ministry of reconciliation. Verse number 19, to wit, that is, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and had committed unto us the word of reconciliation. I'm reading from the King James Bible, so that phrase, not imputing their trespasses unto them, it means that God did not count or keep records of people's sin. No, the moment that you say yes to Jesus Christ, God canceled all your sins. Your past sins, your future, present sins, your future sins have already been canceled because God imputed His righteousness upon you as His Son. And it committed unto us the word of reconciliation. We have that message of reconciliation. The word reconciliation means to restoration, to favor with God. We have that message to tell people so that many can come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and personal Savior. And as ambassadors of Jesus Christ, we are not to shy away from our ministry. If you have your Bible open to 2 Timothy chapter number 1, verse 8. 2 Timothy chapter number 1, verse 8. 2 Timothy chapter number 1, verse 8. The Bible reads, "Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God." When Paul wrote this particular letter to the young preacher, Timothy, you have to know that on that day, preaching the gospel was a crime. And those who were found to share their faith or to witness for the Lord publicly, they were persecuted. They were persecuted. But Paul told Timothy that, yes, this is what's going on, but that shouldn't divert you from doing the ministry that God has entrusted to you. So in verse number 8, Paul said that, "Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord." When you read through this particular part of that verse, Christ wasn't ashamed of you. Christ wasn't ashamed of me. Christ loved us so much that the Bible tells us that he stepped down into this world. God, the creator of this universe, left his throne, came down to live amongst his own creation. His own creation rejected him. His own creation nailed him to the cross. He was persecuted. He was wrongly and falsely accused. He was beaten up so badly. And when nailed onto the cross, he was naked. He died for your sins and my sins. And he wasn't ashamed to do that. He knew that that was going to happen because he is God. But he willingly, voluntarily, and shamelessly succumbed to that horrendous death. See in verse number 21 in 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, verse 21. For he had made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. He was sinless. He was the perfect sacrifice for our sins. And he hanged on the cross of Calvary. The moment you say yes to Jesus, God imputes his righteousness into you. In Romans chapter number 1, verse 16, this is Paul's testimony. For Paul said that, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. That particular verse talks about Paul's positive attitude towards the gospel. Paul knew that Christ did so much for him. And the only way that Paul sees fit to repay his Savior is to keep on sharing the gospel, even though when the going gets tough. And Paul reminded his young Timothy. He reminded him, do not be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Do not be ashamed of me, Paul, as his prisoner. Most of the people that associated with Paul back then, when they heard that Paul was in prison, they departed. They left. They separated themselves from Paul, because to associate yourselves with Paul, you will be asking for trouble. And Paul told Timothy, don't be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord Jesus Christ, and don't be ashamed of me as his prisoner. And Paul went on in verse number 8, and he told him that you are also going to get your fair share of suffering. You're going to go through those persecution. But then he reminded him that God will give him the strength that he needs to overcome those sufferings that he will go through. Christ is our unlimited source of strength. We have the Holy Spirit of God living in our hearts. In verse number 7 of 2 Timothy chapter number 1, Paul reminded Timothy, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power. That word is translated strength, and of love, and of sound mind. As believers, we are indwelled by the Holy Spirit of God. We have that unlimited source of strength residing in us. As Christians, we will go through persecution, trials, tribulations. People will make fun of our faith. Even in Papua New Guinea, we are always made fun of. The educational system and the government will try to divert us from the truth, even what's going on in this world. But God will give us the strength, the boldness, and the courage to persevere and to withstand all the challenges that will come our way. Our only defense to be firmly rooted and fasting in our faith is to stay in the Word. To stay in the Word of God. The Holy Spirit of God, who is the author himself, will use the very scriptures to help you and me, and he will guide us to live the life that Christ wants us to live. The Word of God will help us to use discernment in whatever circumstances or places that we will find us in. So that when we are faced with those challenges, we will not react to these circumstances and difficulties with our feelings and emotions, but we will react with a godly manner portrayed by the fruits of the Holy Spirit. And that's the sound mind that Paul is talking about in verse number 7 of 2 Timothy chapter number 1. There are a couple of examples that we can see in the scripture. Think about Stephen when he was stoned to death. He did not hold grudges against his murderers. Think about the Lord Jesus Christ when he was crucified. He said, "Father, forgive them." Think about the 12 disciples. They were martyred because of their faith. Think about the closed-door countries. I've read magazines on the Voice of the Martyrs. You hear about, or you read about, people being persecuted or murdered because of their faith. They were told to renounce their faith, but most of them did not want to do that. We are the vessels that God wants to use. He wants us to be his mouthpieces, ambassadors. We are assigned with the ministry of reconciliation. The second challenge, as ambassadors, we are to show urgency in our assignment. We are to show urgency in our assignment. Why? The first reason is the rapture of the church. The rapture is going to take place anytime. Any second or minute from now, the trumpet shall sound and we shall be taken away in a twinkling of an eye. 1 Thessalonians 4:16, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, and to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." This is a blessing for you and I as Christians. Think about those who will be left behind, and they will face the horrors of the great tribulation. The prophecies in the book of Revelation and Daniel will be revealed during that time. And that can be your family member, a friend from work, or a friend from school. That is why we are to show urgency to tell the lost people about our Savior before it is too late. In verse number 11 of 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, the Bible reads, "Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. But we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences." Beware of the terror of the Lord. God is going to judge this world one day, and we should be out there telling people about Jesus Christ so that many can come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and personal Savior. We are to show urgency to our assignment. What is the next reason? Believers' judgment. 2 Timothy chapter number 1, verse 12, the Bible reads, "For the which cause I also suffer these things." It was because of Paul's faithfulness in sharing the gospel that he was sent to prison. All alone, Paul had to endure those sufferings, persecutions, because of the gospel's sake. "For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed." Through all those challenges, Paul was not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. "For I know whom I have believed." In other words, what Paul is saying is this. Paul knew that they are going to take his life, but they are not going to touch his faith, nor his Lord. "For I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." The word "against that day," or that phrase at the end, it is in reference to the judgment seat of Jesus Christ. So in other words, what Paul is saying, that word "persuaded," I am fully convinced that God is in heaven, Christ Jesus is in heaven, and he is taking notice of me, of what I am doing here on earth by sharing my faith, telling people about Jesus Christ. Nothing goes unnoticed. And he knew that when he stands before the judgment seat of Jesus Christ, God is going to reward him faithfully for his service as an ambassador of Jesus Christ. So when we look at verse number 12, nothing goes unnoticed. God sees everything that we do. He sees our motives, why we do what we do. Every believer will be judged. Every believer will be judged. We will be judged according to our works. In Ephesians chapter number 2, verse 8 to 10, we are saved through grace by faith and to do good works. We are saved by faith to do good works. See in verse number 9 and 10 of 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. So Christ is going to judge us according to our works, according to our motives. Why are we here in church? Maybe somebody forced us to come to church. Why are we here on Saturdays to clean the local church? Because we want Pastor Keith to take notice of us. God is going to judge us according to our motives. So whatever that you do, God knows. If you're doing it to give him the glory and the honor that he deserves, nothing will go unnoticed. What's the third reason as ambassadors we are to show urgency in our assignment? The unbelievers' judgment in Revelation chapter number 20, verse 14 and 15. That will be after the millennium period, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. The unsaved will be judged. Once they face this judgment, they will be doomed forever. Their final eternal destiny awaits them, and it can't be reversed. That's going to come. As ambassadors, we are assigned with the ministry of reconciliation. We are to show urgency to our assignment based on those three reasons that I put up there. And that leads me to the third challenge. Will you take up the assignment? Will you take up the assignment in verse 20d? What is the assignment? To reconcile people to God. The only way is through faith alone in Jesus Christ. I always say that each and every one of us as Christians, we are placed in strategic locations. You are placed in an environment to be an ambassador of Jesus Christ. There are people that you can talk to that I can't talk to. Your family, your neighbors, your friends at school, friends at work, in your community. There are people that you can talk to that I can't talk to. There are places that you can go that I can't go. You can't be in my town to reach the people of Papua New Guinea with the gospel of Jesus Christ or my neighborhood. God placed me there. That's my strategic location. God placed us in all those locations to tell those people about Jesus Christ. Will you tell them about Jesus? Will you tell them about Jesus? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you once again for this day that you have given us. And yes, as ambassadors of Jesus Christ, as clearly stated in 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, verse 20, this is not our home. This is our temporary dwelling place. Our home is in heaven. Any minute from now, the rapture of the church will take place. According to Psalms chapter number 90, verse 10, the Bible tells us that the life expectancy for everyone is 70 years. And if we have enough strength, we will go to 80. And after that, that's the downhill, that we will die. We will go down. We are not going to stay here for a very long time. But our home in heaven that you have prepared for us, Lord, that's the place that we will stay with you for all eternity. Forever. And as ambassadors, Lord, you gave us the ministry of reconciliation. You entrusted the responsibility to us. We need to show urgency to our assignment. And I pray that we will stand up, that we will go out. Yes, sometimes we will say, "Oh, I can't share my faith," but having a good and godly testimony is important. That people will see Christ in us and many can come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and personal Savior. Thank you for your word. And thank you for this wonderful church. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.